Today's Issues continues on AFR.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Walker Wildman here. Glad for you to be joining us on this Monday edition of Today's Issues. We got a lot of news going on, a lot of even news going on overseas in Europe, and a lot of things to talk about. Joining us in studio to keep us updated on what's going on is Steve Jordahl. Steve, welcome.
Good morning to you, Walker. Good afternoon to those on the East Coast, and good evening to those listening in Russia.
Maybe Putin's listening.
Maybe. We hope he is.
You got a couple things expounding on a couple things we talked about last
hour. Yeah, just some bows, if I could. Let's start with the Paris riots. Over 2,000 arrested. It's the most arrests they've ever had in one day in the history of France, and that includes the revolution, where you know the Marie Antoinette thing. Do you remember listening to? I think it's BBC. They have it on TV over here every so often. They play the House of Commons in Britain, and it's completely different and very entertaining for us, because here over on this side of the pond, even when we are being very stridently rude in our chambers, it's one at a time, and
there's some decorum.
Not so much. You talked about.
Don't they get in fights sometimes?
It seems like it. I don't think there's been punches thrown very often, but you mentioned that Theresa May has stalled or put on hold the vote for Brexit that was supposed to happen tomorrow. This is what it sounded like when she made this announcement in the House of Commons.
It is clear that while there is broad support for many of the key aspects of the deal, on one issue, the Northern Ireland backstop, there remains widespread and deep concern. As a result, if we went ahead and held the vote tomorrow, the deal would be rejected by a significant margin. We will therefore defer the vote scheduled for tomorrow and not proceed to divide the House at this time.
It's fun to listen to.
You know, this sounds like Washington. This sounds like Washington.
It's the Washington that really is happening behind the scenes.
Yes.
Because it doesn't sound like that in our chambers. But
right.
Believe me, it's happening.
My angle here is that she sounds like a Washingtonian because she's saying, well, we'll just delay this fight for another day.
So
how many times do we hear that in Washington? We'll just delay this fight for another day.
And what happened was they voted to have this Brexit deal, but then Theresa May's government negotiated an exit strategy, which really wasn't going to fulfill the goals of either. It was the deal that made nobody happy over there. There was some immigration things that just were going to, they're still entrenched in the EU, and then there were some things that the globalists didn't like. This is part of a global movement. This populism thing is fairly widespread. We knew it started really before President Trump was elected. Shortly before he was elected, we had the vote, the original Brexit vote. So there was the Brexit vote. There was President Trump, and Bernie Sanders, by the way, on the left, is also part of this, you know, drain the swamp type populism. The guy that they've elected in Brazil is quite the newcomer and kind of speaking this populist things. They elected for the first time in a long time a socialist in Mexico. Italy, they're having the same kind of discussions over their budgets. The Philippine president has he's way out there, but it's all part of this movement around the world. And all the pushback you're seeing is the global elites, the globalists, the internationalists pushing back. And I include, by the way, in my opinion, everything we're seeing against Donald Trump, all these moves to impeach, at the heart of it, it's about repudiating this populist type movement.
Right.
It's an ideological battle. It's where it is. I mean, the Democrats are big government, tax the people more, all of that sort of thing. Whereas Donald Trump comes in, he removes taxes on businesses, you know, because that's where Barack Obama put the taxes. Mm-hmm. He removes taxes on businesses to allow them to invest more in their business, expand their business, expand their employment, all of those sorts of things. And the economy is working.
Yeah.
It's cooking right along. But you won't hear the mainstream media talk about that very much.
Right.
They're still talking about Russian collusion, even though the memos that came out Friday from Mueller The memos dealt nothing with Russian collusion. It dealt with the payments to Stormy Daniels and the Playboy.
Right.
You know, which Donald Trump is saying that came out of his private funds. It was not campaign funds. And so this the attacks against, as Steve says, against Donald Trump are against an ideology. Mm-hmm. It's Donald Trump believes in the sovereignty of the United States. He doesn't believe in he believes in cooperating with other nations.
Yes.
He does not believe in kowtowing to other nations.
Yeah.
Which is what Barack Obama did.
Yeah, one of my most favorite parts of President Trump's presidency, and there have been many, but he was over last year in Europe. I believe he was at the G20. And they had the big photo op where all the leaders get on stage and take a photo op. Well, virtually every world leader was wearing the G20 pin.
Mm.
And President Trump was wearing an American flag pin.
Yeah.
And I just thought, mm-hmm. that's another reason that the American people elected you, because you're not going to go over and wear this it's a globalist pin, mm-hmm. where all the countries are together, you know, mm-hmm. and we're all one. President Trump wore the American flag pin. And I will say, to President Trump's credit and to the Republicans, the tax cuts were a good thing. That was a pretty big deal, mm-hmm. getting that through Congress narrowly. Also, President Trump's increased military funding that he's put through Congress. I mean, our military is slowly but getting stronger than it's ever been before, with new equipment and upgrades and things. So good things are getting done to fight this globalist idea, but obviously we're a long ways away from being there.
One last question before we wrap this one up and go to the next story. Walker, if in Washington you're keeping the pulse on what's going on there, if this is indeed a more global effort, pardon the pun, but a bigger effort to stop the populism of President Trump, moreover, not just Russia collusion or obstruction of justice and all the kind of stuff they're doing.
Yeah.
Is there a different way to fight it? A different strategy?
Well, you just have to play hardball with these folks, because that's what they do. I mean, there's a place for being diplomatic, don't get me wrong. But the idea that America can kind of be diplomatic and soft and get along with everybody but still put forth an America First agenda, it doesn't always work. Sometimes it does, but it doesn't always work. President Trump's going to have to be tough, like he's been doing with these foreign countries and negotiations and stuff, because toughness sometimes is all that they understand. And you see that with China now. China's willing to sit down and talk about trade now.
Here's what worries me a lot, and I guess we're paying the price for basically an education system out there that starts in elementary school now and works its way through the universities, where kids are being taught that sovereignty is bad.
Right.
They're being taught to be globalists. That's what that's where their thinking is. They're being taught to be socialists and to push that agenda. And so they're hearing this on the nightly news. They're hearing this from their teachers. They're hearing this, sadly, from many pulpits in this country. So they're being fed this steady diet that almost socialism is Bible-based.
Mm-hmm.
They're not hearing the truth. And so they're coming up and they're becoming of age to vote. And so a Bernie Sanders comes along, or a Cory Booker or Kamala Harris or whatever the case may be, who says, yeah, I'm a socialist.
Yeah.
I believe in higher taxes so that everybody gets whatever piece of the pie that they want. Then the kids are going to vote for that kind of thing. But they're not being told the truth about the downstream effects of socialism, which is what we're seeing manifested in France right now.
Yeah, but we have to continue to expose that, because that's
absolutely
the only way to change this generational divide here. What you got next, Steve?
Well, I heard you talking at the end of the hour about the Supreme Court. It has refused to grant cert. That's the way they say in court talk, of they're not going to hear the case. It was a appeal from Kansas and Louisiana who voted or ruled that they were going to not give money to Planned Parenthood anymore. Even if the money wasn't puted ostensibly to go to abortion, it's fungible. You can put it wherever you want. So Louisiana and Kansas decided not to do this. So it made its way. The lower court said that the laws banning funding of Planned Parenthood were illegal, and so they appealed to the Supreme Court. Well, it takes 4 votes out of the 9 for a case to be accepted by the Supreme Court for hearing. Those voting to hear the case and whether those laws were legal, and therefore maybe possibly overturning or affirming the Planned Parenthood cuts. Those voting for were Justices Thomas, Alito, and Gorsuch, which means those voting not to hear the case or leave the funding intact were Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, Ginsburg, Kavanaugh, and Roberts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's concerning, and I hope that's not foreshadowing how the Supreme Court's going to handle. Well, it is foreshadowing. I mean, it's foreshadowing how the court's going to handle an abortion case, because that's exactly what this case is. So the question is, if a case comes to the Supreme Court that challenges Roe versus Wade and its legitimacy, will the court just say, well, we're not going to hear it? We're not going to hear it. We're going to let the lower court hearing stand. That's going to be a question we're going to hopefully see in the next year or two when a case makes its way up, Fred. But if Kavanaugh wants to side with the liberals on the abortion issue on all these cases, now I don't know, this is just one case, and we got to look into the specifics of it, but it's not looking good.
No, and I'm just reading another report here on the court's ruling this morning. It said the states had argued with more than 70 million people enrolled in Medicaid, allowing individuals to sue could swamp the system and interfere with state systems for evaluating healthcare providers. Got to remember, these are states that said we want to stop giving Medicaid funds to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood basically went to court to say, you're not allowed, state governments, to decide who gets Medicaid funds.
Mm-hmm.
And now they won. They won their case. We have a right to demand a piece of the pie,
right,
of taxpayers' dollars, Medicaid dollars, to provide the services that they do, including abortion.
This may affect the work requirements.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure if these work requirements that we've been hearing about is Medicaid or whether it has to do with just welfare in general, but this could have an effect on whether states can even regulate and require and do work requirements in order to get government assistance. That'll be interesting to see.
I think the work requirements may have had more to do with the food stamp program.
That makes sense.
On that, but you're exactly right. Where do we go from here? If somebody says, I don't think you have a right to make me even try to go out and find a job to get off food stamps,
right,
you don't have that right, state government, and they go to court.
Hmm.
Could this be used as a precedent-setting ruling in cases such as that? It's just creating chaos.
Yeah. And one more thing before we wrap this up. This is why having federal government-run programs is a bad idea when it comes to this welfare stuff,
mm-hmm,
and even healthcare with Medicaid, because, yeah, you know, you say, well, 95% of the time it works out fine and there's no problems here. But this shows that strings do come attached,
mm-hmm,
to taking federal dollars, whether it be for healthcare or other things, and that is the federal government can tell you whether what you can do with it and whether you can use discretion or not. So one more reason that, you know, taking federal dollars puts you at risk of having to do things maybe that you disagree with. Mm-hmm. But I digress. Steve, what you got next?
Those of you that follow the stock market know the term FANG, FAANG. It stands for Facebook, Apple, Alphabet, the big tech firms. Here it is. It's Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. And there was a group that did a – Business Insider did a poll of where political donations from these – tech giants go, the employees of these tech giants, and they found that more than 90% of political donations made by Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google staff went to Democrats.
I'm totally shocked.
I know. but does that tell you a little bit about some of the problem of bias that we have been seeing with these companies,
yeah,
and their reluctance to either admit it or to even acknowledge it?
Yeah, they've definitely been biased, and it's one thing, and to a certain extent, some of them have admitted their bias publicly. Others have been in denial. I would say Facebook's largely been in denial. Twitter came out and said, yeah, we're a liberal company, so what? We ban people we don't like, so what? But from a legal standpoint, and this is where I'm more frustrated, because yeah, they're a private company, unless they're publicly traded and have shareholders, but they're still a private company in the sense that they're not government run. They have a CEO, they have a board of directors and things like that. The problem that I'm seeing that I think is a legitimate problem, despite your opinion on whether they censure conservatives or not, is that they're trying to act like they are public platforms when in reality they're publishers. Facebook, Twitter, and others have become a publisher, meaning that they're just like a OneNewsNow.com or a CNN.com or a FoxNews.com, in that they control which content makes it to their website and which it doesn't. And if there's content on their site they don't like, they delete it. Sometimes they don't even have to give an explanation. That's the problem I'm beginning to see, is that these companies are going to have to pick one side or the other. Are you a platform for everyone, unless it's, of course, illegal activity? Or are you a publisher like a news site? Pick one or the other. You know, right now they're riding the fence.
Well, they're attempting to ride the fence, but it just goes back to what we were talking about a few moments ago. The people working for these big companies, like Facebook in particular, let's take them as an example. What do they have, 20,000 people that assess postings?
More
than that.
Yeah.
All right. So after 20, 25, 30 years of kids being taught socialism in school, and that, you know, the Bible isn't true, then you have these people making judgments about what gets posted. And, of course, they're going to be very, very adverse to a biblical point of view, a conservative point of view on finances, on politics. And so now they're saying, okay, we're not even going to put it up there. Because, you know, they're using terms like, well, it's bullying. It's bullying to say that homosexuality is a sin. We're not going to put it on the site.
Right.
You know, so you have this problem. You have... It's a political problem. It's an ideological problem. And if the bosses at Facebook encourage these assessors to say, yeah, you're exactly right, that biblical point of view should never appear on Facebook.
And to make it even more difficult, Fred, for Christians, is a lot of times they react to these posts by doing what we call shadow banning, which is they will reduce the reach of that post without formally censoring it so that nobody sees it.
Yes.
But you don't know that. This is the reason. It's a shadow.
Yeah.
So some of the flexibility, the fluctuations we've seen in the stock market of late, and I'm not a big financial guru. I only play one on the radio. But part of this fluctuation has been because tech stocks have been going up and down as the government is getting involved now, and not because of a bias, but more because of foreign influence and data sharing. These companies have all been found to have sold or been reckless with user data. Of course, we know that Facebook accepted ads from Russia during the election of 2016, and the Russians continue to try to use these platforms. So the government is interested. There may be a reckoning coming. I don't know whether it's going to be good or bad for conservatives, but I see them picking up the pace.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, to your point, Steve, I think you're exactly right. And I do think if they're when it's going to happen, when a Democrat takes over the White House, I think, and especially if they take over both houses of Congress, I think these companies will feel more free to do whatever they need to do, censor whoever they need to, because any kind of oversight that might take place now under the Trump administration would go away if they have allies in the White House. So we'll keep an eye on that, and I'm sure that'll be a story in the years to come. What you got next?
Boy, we need to pray for the believers in China. China and the U.S. are heavy in the middle of these negotiations on trade and on does President Trump and President Xi, do they get along? Do they not get along? The military expansion. But in the middle of all this, the church is being persecuted and growingly in China. And I think some of the Christian organizations are putting, like Bob Fu, a China aide, is putting pressure on the administration to bring this up in the negotiations. We just found out that 100 worshipers at an unofficial church in southwestern China were kidnapped from their homes or off the street in coordinated raids that began on Sunday evening. These are members of the Early Rain Covenant Church, and this church is house church that meets in various districts of the Chengdu province. in Sichuan. So it appears to be an effort to close down one of the country's most prominent Protestant house churches, and they're just grabbing these people. They don't have to be accountable. There's no, you know, due process. Bam, they're gone.
Yeah, and you know, this morning, Fred, in my cynical side, which comes out sometimes too often, you know, I was thinking about the lawmakers and the media who've been upset about the journalist that was murdered in Turkey at the Saudi Arabian embassy there.
Jamal Khashoggi.
Yeah, which most of the evidence leads to that at a minimum, it was carried out by government actors. And some would say, some could argue, and some evidence may show that the Crown Prince in Saudi Arabia directed it and had knowledge of it. But that's up for the CIA and the White House to come to a conclusion on. Nonetheless, lawmakers and others, even some Republicans, Rand Paul, Lindsey Graham, and others have said, we need to stop doing deals with Saudi Arabia. We need to cut off any kind of arms deals. No more trade. Let's just end our relationship with Saudi Arabia to punish them for what they suspectingly did to the journalist over there. But Fred, here's the thing. Are they going to say the same thing about the Christians being jailed en masse in China?
No, they're not going to.
Right.
I mean, the economic realities of the world right now, if we were to stop trade, we being the United States, were to stop trade with governments that don't see the world, don't see government the way that we do, there wouldn't be much trade going on. The reality is that what we enjoy here in the United States still, despite all the things that we express concerns about, the United States, as former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney said at Bush's funeral last week, he said the United States, when it comes to a place that celebrates freedom, that celebrates the idea that you can come to this country and start a business and you have the freedom to succeed. There's no other country like it. Because it's a land of opportunity. And so we're a bit of an island here. Yeah. The United States is, we're a bit of an island in the world. And I hope folks realize that.
Yeah.
And this is why we talk about these things so much. We don't want to throw that away.
Right.
We don't want to put up the white flag and say, hey, we're going to join the rest of the world. Because really, you don't want to be like the rest of the world.
Yeah, and when we call ourselves conservatives, it's because we want to conserve the prosperous, liberty-loving America that we've had for so many generations.
That's right.
That's what conservatism is all about, and conserving our Constitution. Appreciate it, Steve.
Thank you.
Thanks, Fred.
Great to be with you.
All right, folks, I'll be on Focal Point hosting this afternoon in about an hour and a half on Focal Point, sitting in for Brian Fisher, so I'll talk to you then. In the meantime, stay tuned.